Good morning, PNP tribe members. So this is an exciting day. One, it is, we are closed. And if you're here, you're an official tribe member. So that's awesome. And I love when we close, because then we just start getting to turn all of our attention and all of our just everything over to you guys. And so we'll spend the next few months just loving you and coaching you, kicking your ass, doing all those kind of things. So anyway, it's amazing because usually on the first day of my period, it's just terrible. And today I woke up, I was like, oh my God, it's like the first day with the babies and the new tribe and all the tribe members. So anyway, like my ass is motivated, ready to go. I've been already working this morning on stuff I was shutting everything down for the, when we did the back to basics. And then I already started like working on our website, and I have been being able to finally read and do some, just, I don't know. It's all so good. All right. Let's talk about, guys, my hair is jacked. I know, like, all right. So nobody knows this. Y'all are fixing to be privy. Queen's going to try to let her hair grow out a little bit. We'll see how long it lasts. But this piece here drives me insane because it won't stay where I want it. And either that or I've got to have a better hairspray. So I think my hair is starting to prove that I'm going to need a better spray or something. Maybe I can get Mandy or some of the hairdressers that are coming to camp to give me some skills on how to get that thing to get in lockdown. So let's talk about the three things that you need to know and for weekend planning or for week planning. So we have everybody coming into tribe, and everybody, if you've been here for a long time or you have been here just for a few days, or maybe even just joined yesterday, I am like huge on planning. One of the things that I think is a lifesaver when it comes to losing weight is getting really good. And I don't mean like you've got to be an expert planner with an expert plan, like buy all the planners and all that kind of stuff. You have to be the kind of person that is willing to start making decisions ahead of time for yourself. You need to be in that mindset of understanding that when you start thinking ahead of yourself, you start giving yourself a lot of freedom. And this is important because the biggest bitch that I hear from people about planning is like, all my spontaneity's gone. It's going to be so restrictive. It's going to be all these other things. No. When you aren't thinking about your food ahead of time, you restrict yourself from your weight loss goals, from your dreams. You are spontaneously beating yourself up because you don't like your size, whatever it may be. We want to start redefining how we think about this. You know, I got to fix this. This is like really driving me crazy. Let me tuck it. There we go. I tuck that down in them glasses. But that is the thing that we have to like think about. That planning doesn't take a long time. Indecision takes forever. So for like, there's like several things that people will go up against. I want to clear the, like, let's just get our head straight first around planning before I teach you how to plan. Is there a man? Oh, sorry. I know what this is. Guys, let me just tell y'all this really quick, and then we'll get into the three bitches about planning, and then we'll get into the three ways to make planning easy. First of all, we have a lot of tribe members that will join the tribe who are women who use their husband's Facebook account. So if you ever see what looks like a man in the tribe, it's usually someone who, is there a man in this room? It's either there is a man that got in somehow by accident because we, you know, like sometimes, you know, we're sleep deprived and trying to get all this stuff straight. But usually what it is that I have found is that we have someone who is like the lady doesn't want to be on Facebook. The husband has a profile and they end up being a male and she's using him to be there. So anyway, just so we know that. We're going to get it fixed though, because we don't want men in the tribe, obviously. Unless it's Chris Crabtree. He is the one man. If y'all go through the member list, Chris Crabtree, y'all should be honored. He does no social media. If he ever goes on Facebook, it's because he has to go into the tribe and announce something. That's his whole social media presence. So, all right. So back to the three main bitches when it comes to planning. Number one, it cuts out my spontaneity. No, it doesn't. You can be spontaneous when you plan. You also can tell yourself, I've been so spontaneous for so long. That is why I'm here. Because I keep trying to just eat spontaneously rather than just eating according to a plan. The bitch number two is that it's restrictive. It's not restrictive. You're the damn one putting the shit on the plan. Don't put stuff on the plan you don't want on the plan. Ain't nobody making you do jack shit. Your job is to make that sure that that plan is enjoyed by you. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, y'all get real hung up on goals and stuff. The best way to lose weight and like your life is to set it up the way you like it. I know that's like, sometimes I'll say stuff and it's like, well, that was fucking obvious. It's like, yeah. What we do is we allow our drama to get around it. If you want to keep your weight off, you've got to like the life you build while you do it, which includes your food life, which includes your social life and stuff. That's why, like, you can't restrict your social life while you're trying to lose weight if you like to be a social person. We just have to learn how to have a social life and lose weight at the same time. We can't just cut stuff out. So restriction is not a part of planning. And then the last, and it offers you freedom. And I'll get to that in a second. The last major bitch that I hear from a lot of you when it comes to weekly planning is that it's confusing. And that's why I'm going to give you three tips. Most of you, the reason why you get confused when it comes to creating a weekly plan or a daily plan is because you're still hanging on to old rules. I want you to just wipe your brain right now of old rules. We are creating the rules that are going to work for our body, that are going to work for our lifestyle, that are going to allow us to get the results that we want. So when you're confused, you need to remember, it's only because I'm thinking I'm going to do it wrong. And it's only because I think I should be doing this. You can't do it wrong. You can do it and it not work. And then you go to the process and you make a tweak and you figure it out. That's how habits get formed. Habits are not formed because you figure out exactly what to do and then you do that on repeat. Habits are formed more strongly in your brain when you go through a process of figuring things out until your brain finally maneuvers into the zone of genius with it. Of like, ooh, this specific thinking and this specific like mechanism stuff, that works for me. I was listening to a book and they were talking about how they took cats and they did this experiment where they had put them in a box and then they gave them like all these little things that they could like poke their paws through and hit levers and do all kinds of shit, right? And they tracked these cats to see how long it would take them to figure out how to, every time they go into the box, get out. And at first it took them like a minute and a half to like punch enough stuff to figure it out. As they tracked it, it was like a minute and a half. And then it was just like, it was like this little graph that went up and down like this, where the time got shorter and shorter as the cats were learning. Oh, so if I do this pattern, this eventually gets me there. And then they would do that pattern. Then they would realize, oh, and here's a shortcut. And then they would do that. That is what planning does for you. Over time, what happens is that as you plan more, as you food prep more, as you do all the 24-hour plans, as you keep doing these things over and over again, your brain, at first, it takes the longest to do it because it has to process, it has to figure out, it has to do all these things, it has to make some mistakes, it's got to recover. Like, there's a lot of things that have to go on. And then as you keep doing it, your brain starts trying to make all these new things way more efficient for you. So when you're confused, what I want you to do is I want you to just tell yourself, I can't do it wrong. I just need to be doing something so I can figure out what the next round of tweaks are going to be. What's the next thing I'm going to have to level up for this? And for a lot of you, first level of doing it wrong is going to be learning how not to beat yourself up over it. That will be step one for about 90% of the tribe. Then once you get to where you quit, once you quit beating yourself up, you move to the second step a lot faster. It's like, okay, now I bypass beating myself up and the drama and all this other stuff that's is involved in that part. When I go to the process part of it, now I get to actually start seeing how can I quicker, faster, better do this. So That's the three big things that block us. Now, here we are. We are talking about the three. Let me look. We have notes here. Courtesy of Miss Betsy, she helped me today with coming up with the three things that we are going to teach you to make weekly planning easy. Number one, and this is tried and true. This is what I do, and this is the best way to get into the habit of being a winner when it comes to weight loss, guys, or a loser, however you want to look at it. Set a specific time and day that you're going to dedicate. Like, this is when I plan my life. Y'all know me. I'm Sunday morning. Sunday morning is like golden hour for Corinne. I get fucking up early on Sundays. I make my coffee. I sit on my couch under a blanket. Like, I have created my planning experience on Sunday to be the most joyful event ever. Why do I do that? So that I'm not sitting there telling myself planning takes too long, there's better things to do and all this other kind of stuff. I've created planning to be this like enjoyed, luxurious experience. If you want to get to where you like planning, don't make it drudgery. So set a specific time and then you do that each week. Like, this is the day, this is the time, make it enjoyable, make it pleasurable, and do it. I create a weekly plan every single week in my amazing PNP planner every week. I don't skip it. I love it because it has the keep, start, stop on there. It allows me to reflect on my last week. It allows me to think about what's coming up. And then I start putting my stuff in there. I do not expect perfection out of myself. I don't even expect tons and tons of detail. What I do first is I make sure that I put down meals where I'm going to be out or meals where I'm not going to be at home, where it's just going to be like, this is totally like, I know exactly what I'll be doing because I'm just going to be eating my food prep, whatever it is, right? So I make sure that I start off with the things that I'm going to be doing. So like this week is a good example. I fly out on Wednesday and I fly home early Sunday morning. And I will see all of you next Sunday morning. I fly in and then I almost come straight onto a Zoom call. Like, I'll have time to drive home, eat breakfast, and then get on with you guys at noon. But what I do is I will block out my days on those days. And I'll be like, okay, so I'm going to be at the airport on Wednesday night. So I'm either going to need to eat before I leave, or I'm going to want to eat at the airport, or I'm going to want to eat at the hotel. And I just decide ahead of time. Am I, you know, going to, which one am I going to want to do so that when I'm making my daily plan, I can look at it and be like, okay, I want to make sure I eat before I leave for the airport. Me, technically, I'm probably going to eat when I get to the airport. I love getting something to go and eating it on the first part of the plane ride. Just makes time pass. It's like a quiet meal and I'll download a podcast and listen to it while I eat. And I always know two or three different places that have great salads at the airport. You know, I just never feel like I can't find something to eat someplace. So I always block that stuff out first. And then I start going through the boring stuff. Like, all right, I do the same coffee for breakfast every day. So I usually just put BP, like my Corinne's coffee, butter, I call it butter coffee, but you know, whatever. BP, that's like oil. BC. I put that and then I just do, I don't even rewrite the word. Sometimes I just draw a line to make it even faster. So then I just start going through the easy stuff. And then I work my way up to the things that are going to require more decision making. And that's it. So step one is always you're going to set a specific day and time. And step two is you need to figure out your system. Systems should be very easy for you. I think everybody should just use this one. Comes with your damn membership, so you might as well just use it. If you don't like this one, come up with one on your own. But here's the one we use. And if you don't have the planner, guess what? Go to the website and print the page that says weekly planner. And let me just tell you, if you don't have a printer, guess what? There's these amazing things called notepads. If you have a phone, you can see what our planner page looks like. You can write the same shit on a piece of paper. Guys, if you want to make planning hard, I guarantee you can. Like, I want you to think about it. If I want to make planning hard, I know I can do that. You also, if you want to make planning easy, know that you can do that too. It's a yes or no. Am I going to do it hard? Am I going to do it easy? Like, I'm really big into teaching you guys, the world is binary. Binary means we're on or off. What we do, though, is we try to make everything very complicated. Because when it's complicated, it's a lot easier to not do it. And I would just ask myself, if I'm complicating a process, why? I always say, if I'm complicating something, it's probably because I'm afraid of or because I'm thinking what? A lot of you, it's going to come down to, like, if you're getting hung up on whether on what you're going to write down on a sheet of paper or if you have a piece of paper and all that other stuff, it's going to come down to, I'm afraid I'm going to do it wrong. I'm afraid it won't work. I'm afraid of all these things. Then let's deal with that bullshit. I'm going to tell you right now, didn't nobody pay $289 to join PNP Tribe so I can tell you to write on fucking paper? I know that for sure. So let's get to the real stuff. That's why it's so good when you guys say stuff like that, like when you, like, sorry, when you throw your shit out there, because then we can get to what's really going on. Most of you will complicate a process when you're filled with doubt underneath it. When overwhelm and confusion is feelings that hide doubt, fear, and scared. Almost always. So like when you're feeling overwhelmed and confused, just be like, okay, I know this is obviously an easy problem to solve because other people do it. So if it's not easy for me, it's overwhelming me, it's because I am really thinking what? Always challenge yourself to figure out what you're truly thinking about things, guys. I promise you, you will lose more weight when we get beyond worrying about the actual tools we use and we start really uncovering and thinking about what we're really thinking about deep down. All right, so whoever said that was good. I didn't see that comment. I just saw Betsy. Number three, have the right thought about weekly planning. Well, shit, I just said that. So one of the things that I want you to think about when it comes to weekly planning is this is how I set myself up for my goals this week. Weekly planning is now just what I do. Like if you're one of those people who says, I'm not a good planner, say the old me wasn't a good planner. The new me is finding evidence that it works. Which means I'm going to get in there and I'm going to not be good at it for a long time until I'm good at it. The only way to be good at something, guys, is to suck first and shine later. Everybody gets to go through suckitude, though. Welcome to the party. All right. So those are the three things. I'm going to go through here. Betsy, do you want to put questions? Okay, no, never mind. You already are. I had the screen scrolled up. I'm sorry, Betsy. You're doing it. It's like Betsy's like my right hand. And thank God, because if she was my left hand, we'd be in a mess. I'm like, I can't do jack shit with my left hand. But she's always like one step ahead of me. This is from Allison. I started on December 30th and I'm a teacher going back to work on Monday the 7th. I think I have some mental BS going on thinking I've been doing good this past week because I haven't had to work and PNP has been my job. I'm worried when I go to work, I'll backslide. Any help surrounding my thoughts on this? Yeah. So what I want you to do is I want you to shift your mindset. Like when you're the first thing, the reason why you've been doing good is don't give PNP credit for it. I want you to give yourself credit for it. A lot of times, guys, what we have to do is we have to really start. I was just talking to someone about this. Your fear and doubt will come up at your job if you don't do a really good job right now of proving to yourself that you're doing things and that you're making it happen. Like, don't say the reason why I'm doing well is because I've been listening to all these things. I've been doing this. Say the reason why I'm doing really well is because I've made a plan and I've stuck to it. I've drank my water like a boss. Look at your actions around what you've been doing, because let me just tell you, there's plenty of people that have been listening to me for months who aren't doing actions and they listen to PNP like it's a job. There's the difference between the people who listen like it's their job and the people who listen and do like it really is a job. So when you go back to work, it's the same stuff. You're going to go to the teacher's lounge and you're either going to be hungry or you're not.
you're going to see donuts and it's either a yes or a no. It's either on my plan or it's not. That's the stuff. So the other thing, so that would be the first thing, Allison, is I would reiterate to myself the things that I've been doing since I've been home that specifically lead to weight loss. And say, is there any reason why this can't be happening at my job? Outside of my fear, is there any real reason why it can't happen in my job? And the answer will always be no. And then you start saying, okay, so then if I know that's true, then I just need to brainstorm what's likely to come up for me. I'm going to go back to work and think it's stressful and want to eat. Now that I know that, what I'm going to tell myself is, and then you come up with thoughts around that. So then the second phase for you, Allison, is going to be come up with your list of obstacles and how you want to show up for it. The third phase for you is going to be then I want you to visualize yourself going to work. And I want you to visualize yourself executing what you know works. Right now, you're probably visualizing it all going to the toilet. So then when you go, all the toilety things will stand out like a sore thumb, be like, we knew it, we knew it. It's going to be too hard. And then you'll eat off plan, convincing yourself it's your job. It's because you're not at home. It's because of this. It's like, no, it was always a choice in how you thought about it. So there you go. I'm really into the three steps today. Sherry, when you are quickly planning, are you adding the meals and food your husband and kids eat or just your meals? When I do planning, for those of you who don't know, I had food prepped for years and years and years and years. Oh my God, I don't even know how many, probably 13. And then I guess JJ's been cooking for us for 4 months. I decided to have my sister-in-law start doing our food prep. I pay her to do our food prep. So I send her I ask the boys, what are you going to want this week? And then I think about what I'm going to want this week. And then I send her a list. And then she does all the food prep and brings it to us. So that's how I do it. On my plan, I'm just putting my food down. When I was cooking for all of us, I used to because I always had to make three meals. Logan eats different than me. Chris eats different than me and stuff. So when I would food prep, I'd have to food prep basically three food preps because we didn't eat the same foods. What I would do then is I would list out what everybody's going to do. And then that was really easy for me to make my grocery list. And it was really easy for me to I would just prep stuff and then throw it all in there. Heidi. If time allows, can you talk about why I should not plan and overeat to a plus six at my favorite all-you-can-eat sushi? Tribe members generally suggested a planned overeat to a plus three, no higher. Thank you. No worries if you don't take questions. I do take questions. It's your lucky day. I actually read your post yesterday. Did you do what I said and go to Heidi, I'll tell you what you could do, and then Betsy can send it. She can post it in here. Tell me why you want to eat to a plus six versus a plus three. If you only can eat to a plus three, that makes you think what? Give me a couple sentences on that one, and that will help me with this to be able to answer to you. The reason why I don't want you to eat to a plus six is because it's telling you in your brain it's okay to overeat. Sometimes it's just okay to overeat. There's no right or wrong. I just want you, if you want to plan to a plus six, that's fine. But what I adore sushi, right? You can adore it with a few bites versus I want you to think about this. What does it mean when I say, can you adore sushi to a plus three? Do you have to adore it all the way to a plus six? I mean, that's a fuck ton of sushi. Plus six would be nauseating. I mean, I just want to make sure I know how much sushi you're planning on eating, because a plus six to me is I'm going to eat in, if I ate to a plus six, I would know the rest of the night that I'd be burping. I would maybe feel nauseous, that kind of stuff. It would be that kind of level. So, and the cost, aha. You'll say I can adore it and not on my ass. Well, that's true, but I'm just going to say, you paying and not getting the value. Here's the thing. This is where you're going to have to do some work. Otherwise, what's going to happen is every time somebody wants something free, you're going to convince yourself you adore it. It has nothing to do with you loving sushi, Heidi. There's like two other things going on here. You think the value isn't like, well, if I pay $50 for all you can eat sushi, I need to eat $50 worth. Where's the value? Is it in the experience? Can you just say $50 worth of value means, it doesn't mean I've overate and then I have to spend days working it off my body. I mean, that's an expensive ass sushi if you have to do all that. Or it could be like $50 means I enjoy each bite. That has nothing to do with volume. Nothing. You're paying for the experience, not for the metric ton of sushi you can eat. And you know how we know this? Because there are some people that will go and pay $50 for all you can eat sushi and have one plate and loved it because it was great sushi. They love the restaurant. They like going out with their friends and their husband and their family. They take it all in. They really enjoy every piece. You're not adoring sushi if you're eating it with a mindset of, I need to overeat in order to get my money's worth. That has nothing to do with you loving sushi. That's with you devaluing sushi. That's not love. So I really want you to think about that whole mindset around the food. Are you paying for quantity? Or are you paying for the experience? You're eating the sushi because you want to feel something. And right now you've decided that I'm eating all this sushi to a plus six so that I can feel like I got my money's worth. All right. Let's see if that helps. You can put in some more stuff. But here's the thing. I would eat to the three. I would sit there and just be like, I want to get my money's worth out of that $289 I just plunked down at PNP. Unless you're going to some kind of amazing sushi bar that I don't know about that's cost more than I do, I'd get the money's worth out of this weight loss program, which means you start learning how to eat sushi to a three and damn sure love every single bite and get to be the kind of person who's like, I don't seek value anymore in overeating. I seek value now in knowing that I can eat the foods I like and still wear the jeans I want to wear and go buy the clothes I like to buy and walk by the mirror and be like, ass looking tight today. Thank you. That's value. All right. We'll get off the sushi. You're making me hungry. Deborah, I'm not lying. Thank God you told me that, because I just was for sure you were a liar. I'm curious about the all-you-can-eat stuff myself. It feels dumb to pay $50. Oh, this is somebody else talking about, it feels dumb to pay $50 to eat to a plus three worth of steak at a Brazilian barbecue. We just talked about that. Like, literally, we just talked about that. Guys, I promise you, value, you need to work on your mindset around food and money. Are you paying to overeat? Are you paying to enjoy the experience? I want you guys to think about why you eat there. Like, you're not saying like, you know what? I've really heard about this recently heard about this Brazilian barbecue place. I heard everything's $50. Let's go. No, you go because the food is good. You go because like you enjoy the experience and stuff. You want to feel like good, whatever it is. You're paying for that. That's what the $50 is about. It's not for the meat. If all it was for the meat or the sushi, you guys wouldn't go. The experience that you have with it is what creates the feelings. Right now, you guys are devaluing it. You're making the experience mean like, here's my 50. Now give me a metric ton of food so that I can overeat and feel bad tomorrow or bad next week or whatever it may be. It's just, guys, I'm just telling you, this is all probably new to a lot of you. It's really a concept that once you get your mind wrapped around it, oh, it's so freeing. You will experience freedom like you never have when it comes to food. I get this because I grew up so poor. It took me a long time to get to the point to where I didn't see throwing food away as wasteful. I had to really work on my mindset around the idea that when I threw away food, it was because we were done with it. It's so obvious and yet so hard to conceptualize. I'm just done. I've already gotten my money's worth because I'm done, because my body doesn't need any more. Can you please talk more about the perfection of following the plan? I'm trying to get out of I have to be perfect, but hearing some different things around the okay switches, like swapping out a salad for roasted veggies. On the one hand, I get the need to learn to follow the plan, but at the same time, I want to avoid making myself crazy with perfection. This is your opportunity, is it Ina, to, hey, Betsy, if you can you do, because I'm going to skip some questions if I don't see the check marks. I'm already noticing I've skipped a couple. This is your opportunity to work on perfectionism. Like when we just avoid doing that stuff because we don't like beating ourselves up, rather than avoid doing something that would cause us to beat ourselves up, let's do something that triggers that and learn how to quit doing the behavior. So on the plan, here's the deal. I want you to write a plan, and I want you to build the habit of following the plan and always knowing when you don't follow your plan and the reasons why you don't follow your plan. Through that process will come up you guys going off plan and beating yourselves up. Confusion about, is this a good trade or not? Then we can help you with that. And then you learn not to be that anymore. That's the process. We want to like get in there and do these things so that you do feel them. Notice that that's an error in your thinking so that we can get you trained on how to think differently. And then you don't have these things controlling you anymore. So when you like switch, let's say you have carrots on your plan and you decide today I'm having Brussels sprouts instead. I always note that as an off-plan eat so that I know how often I'm switching my plan. And I can also look, I was telling y'all this the other day. I also get to look at my plan at the end of the week and notice that 3 days in a row, I didn't want my carrots. Should probably not put that shit on the plan again. But if I'm not noting it and I'm in a hurry and making next week's plan, I may end up planning shit that I didn't really enjoy this week. Or maybe I need to realize like, maybe I'm craving greens and I don't even know. Like that is the point. But because I don't beat myself up over it and I just use it as data to evolve my plans each week and to evolve my palate and all this other stuff, I don't care that that's an off-plan eat. I think it's benefiting me to know this information. The only way that you doing it on your plan is if your thought isn't that it's a benefiting information. It's when you're beating yourself up, you're not allowing it to benefit you. You're using it against yourself instead. That's a choice. It's just a choice. Can you describe typical daily goals? I tend to go for save the world stuff, but you probably mean something less. Yeah. Like mine is a lot of times it's water. Like I didn't even realize until recently when I was doing my planner and stuff, I'd noticed that through the holidays and just working and stuff that I had not been hitting my water. So I had to put on my top three, all water is drank today. And then I put a note, buy some of these because I enjoy drinking them. And then when they're in the smaller bottle, I feel like I'm making progress when I go through them. I'm always trying to hack myself. So like I started making notes on how I was going to accomplish it. Some days it's just like I'll put in the workout that I want to do. It just depends on what you want to put in your three. If you want to put like household stuff, and sometimes like I'll put in there, like there'll be one day like my desk was just a wreck. Like I just had so much crap all over my desk. And every day I was just working. And then I would go to bed and I would come downstairs and I'd be irritated, but I didn't want to take the time to clean off my desk. So one of my goals that day was clean your desk off. Nothing that's like, there should be nothing on it that shouldn't be on it. So it's just stuff like that. That's what I put on mine. You can put whatever you want on there. How do I handle when weekend plans change and now my exact plan can't happen? You rewrite your plan. That's all I do. I start using good, better, best. I start like this. There's all kinds of little tips and tricks, but the main thing is to make sure that when your weekend plans change, that you don't go into victim mode. See, can't lose weight. I guess I'm just going to have to eat whatever. Book this. Whatever it may be. You are always in control. Like, everybody needs to practice that thought. Doesn't matter what happens. I am always ultimately in control. No one's going to make me eat anything. They may offer. They may suggest. They may do these things. But unless you're going to get strapped to a table and have food shoved into your mouth, no one's going to make you do anything. Your thoughts will be the thing that will drive what you choose, not anything else. So make sure that you're always saying, still in total control. If they want to go somewhere else, fine. That's awesome. Here's the things before you go in. Here's the things that I know I can do. I can always eat to my two. I can always try to level up my choices while I'm there. You don't always have to know exactly what you're going to be having at a restaurant or know exactly where you're going. Just like next week in Dallas, I've never stayed at this hotel. We're in a different part of town. I've been going to Dallas and gotten into my routine. Well, my mentor switched hotels on us in a different part of the area. And I'm not even going to research it. You know why? I'm going to go trusting I can always make good choices. I can always drink my water. There's always things I can do. The only thing I'm going to ask is, do they have a fridge in the room? Because if they have a fridge in the room, I may order an Instacart to get a couple of little things to have in the room. Other than that, I just always trust I have my own back. I always have my own best interest in mind. I don't think I'm a victim. I don't think I'm helpless. I don't think I'm stupid. I don't think any of those things. And guys, that's trained. You have to start thinking like that person. And that means consciously, on purpose, deliberately, talking to yourself like a crazy person, that this is the person you're becoming. This is the person who I am. Notice, I want you guys to be so good at telling yourself a new story about who you are when it comes to food, that when your old fat girl thinking comes in, that sticks out like a sore thumb. Because what's happening for most of you is you have fat girl thinking running rampant in your brain. And when I want you to practice the new thoughts, they stick out like a sore thumb. I want you to practice your new thoughts for so long and keep doing behaviors for so long that old thinking, it will come in and you'll be like, holy shit, where'd that come from? We ain't seen her in a while. That's where we want to get to. I reviewed my protocols I'm maintaining, so I wanted to cut down on yogurt. My brain is throwing a tantrum that this is unfair and too hard to achieve. The look I want is I can't even have yogurt. So this is a really easy fix for me. I'm trading yogurt for the body I want. Ain't nobody saying you can't have this to get the body you want. Say, I'm going to try giving up yogurt to see if I get the body I want. You're the one that wants the body. Don't throw a tantrum. If you don't want the body, don't do the work, right? This is not a tantrum. Like, you just need to tell yourself, this is not a tantrum thing. This is literally time for me to just say, shut it or lose it. I'm the one who wants to lose the weight. I'm the one who wants to have this body. And if I think yogurt is standing in the way, the last thing that ever is going to happen is that I'm going to give yogurt so much power that I have to keep thinking about it and get upset about it and think it's doing something to me and whatever. It's like, it's a container of yogurt. I love talking to myself about it because I get worked up about little things too. And I'm just like, oh my God, really? Yogurt's going to be the boss of me today? I got the big yogurt on my back? And then you're just like, shit, yet again, I have decided to be an asshat. I call myself asshat a lot. I'm just like, oh my gosh, seriously, you teach people. It's like, you teach people. If you plan for an exception tonight, like margarita pizza, and have leftovers, is it okay to plan the leftovers for the next couple of days to avoid feelings of waste, or is that too much exception? Here's the thing. I don't care if you keep the leftovers, but we're not going to avoid the feelings of waste. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go headstrong into the feelings of waste because they're ridiculous. Like, guys, we're not here to avoid our feelings. What I would do, like, I think it's fine if you plan it out over the next few days and stuff, but I don't want you to think because, well, otherwise I'm wasting it if I let it go. That's not what we want to do. Because then you're still associating a tie to that food thrown away somehow is wasteful, so your mouth needs to be the garbage disposal. We're not the trash can. Everybody has a trash can. Use the trash can. Quit using your mouth as a trash can. You're better than eating garbage. And I don't mean like junk food. I'm talking any food. When you eat to your plus two, I don't care if you have half your damn salad left over. Quit being a trash can. You got your experience with it. You got what you needed out of it. Now, what I like to do is I like to be like, okay, I'm done. And I'll save it and I'll be like, and if I want it tomorrow or whatever, I can have it. But I don't sit there and think, well, I need to save that because otherwise it'll be wasteful. So just decide whatever you want to do. But I would practice, like sometimes I would probably practice throwing some food away and realizing how unterrible it really is. Most of you, this is what goes on in a lot of habit changing. We have this mental like this around something like, it's going to feel awful to throw away food. Oh my gosh. Like we build it up that it's going to be this traumatic experience. Then the first time you do it, it's like for a moment, it's hard. And then once you do it, it's like, well, that's over. It's like, well, shit. It wasn't near as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's no different than like when we get really, you know, like when you get like a new car, you're super excited when you get it and the newness wears off super quick. Like the thrill and the rush of getting it is just gone. It's like, now I have a new car and I'm proud of it and whatever. But once you don't have anybody else to show it to, everybody knows you got the new car and stuff, the thrill's gone. It's not exciting anymore. It's the same thing. It's like you build it in your mind that it's going to be this amazing experience. It's amazing for a minute and then it's pretty much over. Same thing with throwing away food. If you feel like it's going to be terrible and all this other stuff, and it's like it's going to be terrible for like a second and then it's just over. Moving on. How can I overcome the nervousness I experience, that ball in the pit of my stomach when I start getting questions about the changes I'm making? That's probably just coming from, we need to figure out why you're so nervous when people are asking you about it. It's probably coming from you still identifying as someone who's going to fail. And you're probably identifying as someone who's afraid of what other people will think if you do fail and all that kind of stuff. That's just going to take time to get over. So the biggest advice that I have for you is, how can I overcome the nervousness? Is when you're, I want you to think about when you talk to people about just saying, I'm starting to create the life I want, or I would actually ask this one. This is really good. What are some thoughts that some of the girls here, like what are the responses that some of the girls here have given people when they started on this journey? That's always super helpful to understand how other people explain it to their loved ones and stuff. I would probably do that. And because you're going to need, this is one of those things where you need to try on a lot of people's responses, like in your mind. I want you envisioning you saying it, and then you're going to land on one. We always call it the jeans test. You know how like, or the pants test. You know how everybody always has a pair of pants or a pair of jeans that are like, those are the ones that fit. Like you don't need to do acrobats in order to get them to feel right and all that kind of junk. It's like, oh, these are all the ones. It's your comfy pants. You're going to find a thought that's your comfy pants and be like, I can see me saying that and that feels very believable. And that is what I will say. And that will help alleviate that nervousness. I think it's because right now you just don't know really what it's like. You're not really sold and believing in what you're doing just yet. And that's okay. That's where a lot of you are. And that's fine. I don't want anybody freaking out that they're not like, oh my God, I'm supposed to believe this tooth and nail by nail. It's like, no, I want you practicing belief. I want you believing you will believe one day. I want you like assuming the role of someone who's changing their life. You don't even have to know how far you're going or where you're going or anything. You just know you're going in a new direction. Assuming the role of someone who like believes that they can just keep working at it. And that they believe that they have the right tools now and the right surroundings and stuff. Like, I want you working on that. When you start working on your ability to believe that you will totally be all in with yourself and you will believe in yourself unconditionally one day, it really changes a lot of things. Is making a plan something you will do for the rest of your life, or does it get to a point where you can do it mentally without going off plan? I still make one. I mean, I'm 14 years in. I'd love to be able to say like, oh yeah, I don't have to plan anymore, y'all. Like, there's a day we're never going to do a plan ever again. There may be people like that out there. I'm not one of them. The reason why is I get so much freedom from doing it and so much clarity and so much comfort from just knowing what I'm going to be doing. I'd rather know what I'm going to be doing rather than having to be like, okay, here we are again trying to decide what we're going to eat. I just like knowing. I try to plan a lot of my life. Like, I know what I'm going to be doing each day when I'm at work. I know, you know, like, I have my calendar set up so that, like, I literally have an alarm that goes off when it's time to go get Logan. Because I get very immersed in working. And I make sure I'm like, okay, it's time to go get Logan. I just like having a life that I get to enjoy to the max. Because I always know what I'm going to be doing. And then I can make the most out of those moments. When you spend a lot of your time always having to decide and think about and weigh and all this other stuff, you're doing it in such small chunks all the time, you don't make the best decisions for yourself. So I always try to plan my week, like with my food or my work or my exercise or whatever, in a day and on a time, in a time where I'm always going to be making the best decisions for me. Moment to moment, I don't always make the best decisions. There's too many things going on around me. I'm going to make the easiest decision. And that's not how I want to live my life. I don't want to live my life going through life always taking the easy road. I want to tackle a lot of hard roads. And it's a lot easier to travel the hard road when you've decided ahead of time what you're going to be doing on that road. I always get hung up when I lose 10 pounds. I tend to slough off. How do I change the thoughts around this? You have to quit telling yourself that's what, like, just say, I've done that in the past. That's not how it will be this time. You have to start gearing yourself up for it. Your 10 pounds is coming. So how do you want to show up for it? So you start telling yourself, there's no reason why we won't keep going this time. I would just tell myself, there's no reason. I know I've done it in the past. That has nothing to do with this time. Like, those are things to think about. This is where we start thinking about our past and how irrelevant it is to our present. The past is just how you did it the last time. It doesn't mean that's how you will do it this time. It just means that's how I did it last time. What did I learn from it? Because this time, I'm for fuck sure going to do it different. And that's how you change that over. When I work out in the morning, I have to eat an hour beforehand or I will get nauseated mid-workout. The problem is when I wake up, I don't feel like I'm at a negative two. How do I reconcile this? Joanna, I think that's fine. I would just eat. If you're eating so that you don't get nauseous during your workout, then I would just eat a little something and be fine with that. I'm single as fuck. What did you tell yourself before to not use weight as the reason of being single or having poor relationships? I tell you, there's plenty of overweight people in the world who screw a lot of men. I have a friend who literally, she's amazing. And she's like, you know, she talks about her body. She's got quite a bit of weight to lose and stuff. And she doesn't care. She's like, it has nothing to do with relate. She told herself she had this story that it was her weight. And then she was like noticing other overweight people seem to be getting married and they seem to be having sex. And she's like, huh? So I guess it's not weight. It probably is just me and my thoughts. If there's one other person who's overweight in the world having sex other than you, then you know it's your thoughts and that shit happens. So I would just tell myself, my weight is no longer my reason, my excuse, or my justification for why anything in the world is happening. The only thing it means is this is what I weigh. Like, that's it. Y'all have to quit blaming your weight for all your problems. Your weight is a manifestation of what you eat, period. There we are. Your relationships, you being single, even your, like, how you look at your body and stuff has nothing to do with your weight. It has everything to do with how you choose to think about everything. If you want to look in the mirror and say you're sexy as fuck every day, you get to do that no matter what weight you are. If you want to look in the mirror and pull yourself apart, guess what? You also get to do that no matter what weight you are. It's not the weight. There's plenty of thin people in the world that hate their body too. Most of them. That's how we know it's a choice. It is not a number that does that to us. So I would recommend all of you do like I do. I am in a habit of telling myself how amazing I am all the time. In my brain, we're constantly talking about it. Because when I'm not talking about it, my brain wants to not have that conversation. It has a very different one. So I clutter my brain with amazing thoughts about myself, even when I don't believe it. Because here's the thing, what does it hurt? Like, people say, like, well, I don't believe it. It's like, well, that's not a good fucking excuse to not do it. So just because you don't believe something means that you're not going to try to adopt the belief, that you're not going to tell yourself a different story. Just because you don't believe something means you should just get to feel shitty. There was a call the other day where somebody said, am I just trying to make myself feel better? Like, fuck yes. That is exactly what we're trying to do. We are trying to feel better. And there's nothing wrong with that. The whole point is to start telling yourself the things you think you're going to think when you lose weight. You tell yourself that stuff now. So that when you get there, you actually believe it and you've already done the work on having the conversation. Otherwise, whatever you tell yourself now, you will just be in a tired ass habit when you get there and you'll wonder why losing weight didn't make you happy. The only way to be happy when you lose your weight, guys, is you're going to have to do two big things. You're going to have to tell yourself a whole new story all the way down about you as a person. You have to start showing yourself all the right things you do for you, all the right things about you. No one's going to do that for you. And no one should have to. Don't tell me that your husband doesn't, you know, he says mean things, all this other stuff. I don't give a shit what your husband thinks. I give a shit about what you think. So you're going to need to get into a practice and a habit of redefining that conversation, even when you don't believe it, even when you think you're just making yourself feel good because, you know, like that's a bad thing. Then the second thing is you got to enjoy the process. You will not keep your weight off if you lose it in a way you hate. Thank God y'all are here because I don't teach you guys to be miserable, but don't be trying to jack my system either. Don't bastardize it. Don't bring Oprah and Dave Asprey from Bulletproof Coffee and Paleo Dude and I don't even know who all. Dr. Fung, all of them. Do not bring them into my program. They get to stay out there. I'm not saying they ain't got some good ideas and stuff, but I want you to be first and foremost focused on, she's teaching me how to enjoy the process of losing weight. If I'm not enjoying it, that's my damn fault. So what am I going to do about it? I just joined. Am I foolish? Welcome, Kelly Leonard. Am I foolish in thinking that I can continue Weight Watchers for the first few months of PNP? I joined Weight Watchers in December and I've lost 12 pounds. I also go to meetings with my sister and love that connection too. I'm not ready to let go of tracking my points. Has anyone else done that? Almost every single person in here who is or was a Weight Watcher does not count their points anymore. I'm just going to tell you that. I love the structure, but I love the mindset offered here. You can do both. I would tell you to go to the meetings because you love the connection with your sister. That's an excellent reason to do it. I would start looking into the tracking of the points because you can have all the structure you want with my stuff without the points. I don't care if you track your points, but you do not let go of the hunger scale. I don't care if Weight Watchers, if you have 5,000 points left for the day, if you're not hungry, you don't get to eat them. If you have no points left for the day and you're legit hungry, then you're supposed to eat. That's the only problem I have with it, is I want you listening to your body. The points are not listening to your body. Okay? But I would keep going to the meetings for sure. I mean, you love it with your sister. There's no reason to stop that. What are your feelings with eating and then going to bed? I don't think there's a problem with it. If you're hungry, eat. The only time that I have a problem with it is when people tell me that if they eat right before bed, they end up with heartburn. I'm like, well, don't do that anymore. But if you're hungry, it's fine. It's not the healthiest thing, just because I will say this. My mother has Barrett's esophagus, and it's from years and years and years. Well, it's a lot of things. My mom still struggles with her weight pretty big. One of the things is, one of the causes is she was a nighttime eater. And she would lay down. And so like digest, when your stomach is still digesting and it's got food, it's going to push some bile up into the esophagus. This is how I'm not a doctor. This is how I believe it happens. That could end up irritating out your esophagus. So just be mindful of that. But in terms of like weight loss and stuff, it doesn't matter when you eat, guys. Eat when you're hungry, stop when you're satisfied. I've been putting the leftovers away and bringing them back out in 2 hours, which has me in the habit of eating every 2 hours. Any advice on how to break this habit? Stop bringing the leftovers out. Yeah, you're going to have to not do that. You're just going to have to tell yourself, like, I'm going to want to get them back out in 2 hours because I'm conditioned like a dog to want to go to that fridge and get those leftovers. Today's not the day. Today's the day I wait. Today's the day that I know I'm not hungry. I'm just wanting to go. Because if you're eating enough, you should be you should be at least in the 3 to 4 hour range. I'm usually good following plans for about 2 weeks and I start to fall off. How do I stay motivated and committed? Well, I think one of the things is you're just going to have to like, and I think all of you need to practice this. Like you can stay committed, but if you're expecting, this is a lot of times what I see happening. After the 2 week mark, it's just not exciting anymore. And y'all equate that to being unmotivated. It's like the newness is supposed to wear off and it's supposed to get boring real quick. Like the exciting part's over. You're here. Now it's just time to do work. The best way to stay motivated is to start thinking about the version of you when you lose your weight. Be motivated on like envisioning yourself getting on the scale next week and it going down. Do some work around that. But for all of you, I really want you guys to hear this. The majority of weight loss is boring. It's not exciting. There's not a shiny plan every 3 weeks. We get into the cycle of doing it and it not being exciting and we equate that to something wrong. Because what's going to happen after about 2 weeks is the mistakes start showing up. Some of you will be able to go a couple of weeks without making any, and some of you will go 3 hours and start making them. No matter what, we all have something in common. The day after perfect is on its way. The day after perfect is what John Acuff talks about in his book, Finish. Hey, Betsy, if you can you find the Finish? I interviewed him for Just the Tribe members. Can you find that link and hook it up in this... hook it up in the comments of this. Also, if we're going to do show notes for this one, will you make sure that we get those shown? Anything I talked about like that, let's get it all in the show notes. He talks about the day after perfect, which is we all have this idea that we're going to like, I'm going to make this big change. I'm going to set this goal. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to join PMP. And then we do some stuff and we're doing really good. And then we hit our first unexpected weekend. We hit our first overeat. The first person offers us a margarita on a Friday night after a stressful day and we drink it and we didn't plan for it. That's called the day after perfect. Your weight loss is going to be dependent upon how you show up on that day. Your weight loss will, I promise you guys, 90% of your results will all come from how you show up when it's not perfect, not for all the times you were perfect. Every mistake, everything that goes wrong, everything that's like the days the scale doesn't move when you want it to, all that stuff, that will be what makes or breaks your weight loss. Most of you put way too much energy and effort on trying to be perfect and expecting perfect to do it. It's just not going to happen. It's always going to be in how you show up after that. Always. And I want to teach you guys how to like not let that stuff throw you. Because that's when you'll lose weight. Can you speak on how to deal with hang on, y'all. I'm gonna drink some water. Hey, Betsy, these are the last two I'm gonna take, okay? Otherwise, I'm gonna choke all over these girls. Can you speak on how to deal with undesired attention from men? Not used to it, and it makes me uncomfortable. I would take, honestly, Tammy, I would take that one to ask coaches, and I would put like, when men say or do these things and I feel uncomfortable, it's because I start thinking these things. So give them about three different things that you think about that. And then for each one, ask yourself, and I think that means what? I want to see it. This is what I typically see with this. Okay. People who don't like it when someone notices they're losing weight, from men especially, a lot of times it's because it's triggering something in them that like a man could harm them. And so what you want to do, if it's coming from that, where you have a past where maybe a man harmed you, or maybe like we had a lady the other day, she associated, ooh, this would be a good call for you. Oh, shit. Hang on. We'll tell you which one it is because this one was golden. I think you should watch this call. So I coach about this in this call. Let's see. Let me go latest recordings. It was this week. Yes, it is the call from January the 2nd. The whole call was good for all of you. It's called Dropping Stories. Being overweight protects me. People hurt me. I can't be successful in weight loss. Betsy, I am going to drop this into Slack and we can include that in those show notes too, since I found it. The thing about it is that you have an association probably somewhere with when you were thin, something bad happened, and you associate the bad thing that happened because of the size of your body. And what I coach in there, and what most people have to do is start understanding that when something like that happens, it was never because of your body. It was because of that person, or it was because of, it could have been a lot of things, but you have to start retelling the story of that. Then what happens is that when men are making comments and stuff, those things no longer cause you to be uncomfortable because you understand that it's not them trying to harm you or whatever. You get to start rewriting that story. But I would watch that call because it's really good for that stuff. How do you enjoy losing weight when you have to sit with discomfort at most social events? In the beginning, you will not love that part, right? So you start learning how to go to social events and it's like, go to them and start learning how to have the experience outside of the food. When you first go, what will happen is like if you're going to plan not to eat when you go, or you're not going to drink, or maybe you learn how to plan to go to social events and just not like, you know, throw down like a crazy person, right? Maybe the level up is like, oh, maybe I don't have to just eat all the food. Maybe I just need to plan the food, that kind of thing. But let's say we're all going and we're not going to eat, right? You have to start teaching yourself how to be outside the experience, how to start noticing what's going on and what's happening. Because here's the thing, if it's only about the food, then why are you going anyway? It's kind of like, if you need food to make it better, you have to ask yourself, why am I there? Why have I, like, you know, I wouldn't go to something if the best thing that was offered was the food. It'd be like going someplace and saying, well, I only like hanging out with these friends when I'm drunk. It's like the alcohol covers up that you don't like these people. And your work is around either you need to learn to like them or you need to learn to let them go. And the reason why you get drunk is because you don't want to deal with letting them go. You don't want to deal with all that discomfort. So you sabotage your dreams of your body and stuff to be drunk around people you don't even like. We convince ourselves very often, guys, that the food and the drinking is what makes an experience fun. The experience is either fun or it's not. And then there's food and there's alcohol. And we can all learn how to have fun in an experience, but it's going to take not relying on food and drink as a crutch so that you can experience what's really going on. And then ask yourself, is this a me problem or is this a them problem? Sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's just you being too fixated on the food. You have to learn how to make the break. And then once you do that, you get to have more fun and experience something. Sometimes it's a people problem. Sometimes you start realizing, shit. Like, I've been going out to dinner with this bitch and I've been stuffing my face because I really don't like all the shit she talks about. If I'm not going to eat, she's not near as fun. Yeah. So deal with that part. All right. Let's see. Betsy says, can you please pimp my office hours tomorrow at noon? I can, Betsy. I have a few announcements and then we're going to get out of here. I'm going to announce a couple of the things that we're doing. So tomorrow, I keep looking at Friday. I swear to God, y'all. I keep looking at my busy cal and I've got it like edged over. And I keep thinking like I'm at the wrong place. But tomorrow, from Saturday, from 12 until 2, Coach Betsy will be having office hours. And for everybody, let me explain office hours so you guys know. Office hours is where one of the coaches is online on Zoom for 2 hours. There's no coaching appointment needed at all. So you get to just show up and you can just watch if you want. And you can just watch all the coaching. Or you can show up with a problem. And then you raise your hand and then they just call on the next person. They just go in order of the people who were calling them and they try to get through as many people as they can within 2 hours. Some people will be fast, some people will be slow. You can even go in if you want to type a question into the Q&A, get your question answered live and get out. You can do that too. So we have two opportunities for that. That'll be on Saturday from 12 to 2. And then Miss Hartman, Miss Kathy will be doing it next Tuesday from 6 to 8. The next thing will be me doing regular coaching on Sunday at noon. That is where people have signed up to get coached. So I will come on. Everybody can watch. The people who are getting coached will raise their hand and then I will call on them. I will coach them. And we usually go somewhere between an hour to an hour and a half. I typically am the long one of all the coaches. I tend to rant, I rave, I rattle, I do all the things. Once we're done with coaching calls, guys, they are always archived in the private member podcast and in video replays. So if you go over to pnptribe.com and you go to the menu, you will notice a button called video replays. There's the top button. If you're on your phone, it's the top button. If you're on your computer, it's the top left button. It says latest recordings. That's every recording we've done, not sorted. It's just the latest recording at all times. The other things are all of the categories. So we have we categorize all of our calls and we put them in there. So, you know, in the private member podcast, guys, you can't categorize in a podcast. So you're just always seeing the latest feed. We get them up within 24 hours. Every now and then we miss our 24 hour mark, guys, but I promise you we try not to, but my assistant has to have a day off at least once a week. So I just can't make Miss Sadie work around the clock. As much as I'd love to, can't do it. I think the government would shut me down if I was doing that shit. So that's how we do all the calls. So tomorrow is Betsy from 12 to 2. Me, I will be on at 12 o'clock. And then I will be back at 3 o'clock for new member orientation on Zoom. I'm just going to like come on, tell you all the things that a new member would love to know. Calm your nerves. Calm your asses down, get you focused, get you centered, and just kind of like tell you about PNP and stuff. So you can, if you're new, anybody can come, but if you want to come and you want to see it live and you want to ask questions, please feel free to come and see me at 3 o'clock on Zoom, and I will be there, and we will also record, that'll be recorded. It will be archived. It will go into the Private Member Podcast. It will also go into the video replays. Let's see. Is there? Oh yeah, Miss. Let me give you a couple of wahoos, and then that'll be it. We have I'm just gonna tell you, I'm such a redneck from the South that anytime anybody joins the tribe and they are not on the continental U.S., I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm so internationals. So a big welcome to all the ladies joining us from other countries that makes us an international organization. We have girls from New Zealand, New Caledonia. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Whoever you are, I hope you're on here and you can tell me your name. Norway, Germany, Spain, Israel, Singapore, Austria, Switzerland, and South Africa. Fuck. Just serious. Ooh, it takes a little, made me happy sometimes. And since today is all about planning, we have a special shout out to Tanya Ever, who asked for planning trip tips on her trip to Vegas. Oh my God, of all places, Vegas. I need to find this thread. Paula lives there. Deborah Mitchell suggested the Success Path Unit on travel and planning. Roz, I think it's Toby. I'm not sure. I don't want to butcher your name, but I probably did. Suggested she use the good, better, best. Maria Kraft suggested to think about her vacation ahead of time, what obstacles might be there, and just to have a plan, even if it's super, super simple. A plan is better than none at all. And then we have shout outs to Christina Franco for sharing her before and after pictures and herself with us. Jamie Scott. Oh my God, Jamie Scott. Jamie Scott is she's OG. I've known her forever. She's gotten married with PNP. She's had a baby with PNP. She just, all the things have happened with PNP with Miss Jamie Scott, for recommitting and being a member since 2007. And Don Selby for making a plan and sticking to it for the past 3 days. So that's our shout outs today. Just welcome to all the people from around the world. Holy shit. I sign up for a coaching call next month so I can hear some accents. I get thrilled when I get to hear all the accents. So, all right, guys. Y'all have a marvelous Friday. Tonight is date night. Last night, Chris, me, and Logan, we went to dinner, and we had a planned family dinner to talk about just our family business. We kind of just reflected on the opening, and Logan is trying to decide, for all of you who are coming to camp in January, I'm going to post his speech he gave at our last camp in here today, so all of you can watch that. He's trying to decide if he's going to do another, and he's thinking about making every group that comes through PNP retreats do the oath, the PNP oath. So, and if in the middle of the video, you hear a lot of people cheering and laughing in the background, it is because in the middle, so many people were crying. Mandy walked through the middle of the room of 120 women with Kleenex, throwing it like it was confetti because there were so many people crying. So I'll get that posted because it's always fun to watch. And I love my son, and why would I not brag on him? So, all right, guys, have a good one. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.